Hey folks, Dan Ferro here with your market update for August 22nd, 2024. So we saw mortgage rates ease a little bit yesterday. Are they going to continue today? Well, there's a lot of information coming out today, especially what the Federal Reserve is going to look at. So today's lesson, I want to basically explain to you guys what the Federal Reserve's role is and why, you know, why yesterday an $800,000 person reduction in the employment numbers is going to spike the unemployment rate, and why wasn't there bigger moves in the market yesterday than we saw? So that's what we're going to kind of talk about today. I want you guys to understand how the markets all work. So here's the top six programs people use when they're buying their first house. These aren't my rates, folks. So if you want to check out and see how I can help you, at the end of this video, I'll tell you who I am, what I do, and I'd love to be able to help you guys out if you're looking to buy that first house, first investment property, or maybe even refinance. So the first thing we're going to come across is the economic calendar. So today we have the initial jobless claims. Okay, this adds to the pressure on the job market. All right. So what you're seeing right through here, last reading, there was 228,000 people that filed initial first-time jobless claims. They expected it to raise to 232, and I don't know how they did it this time, but they nailed it on the button. Okay, so that's that. And then we had the manufacturing numbers come in basically in line, and the servicing sector kind of come in line as well. It was 0.2 higher than last reading. So nothing really there. So we want to go over here and say, okay, what is the Federal Reserve's dual mandate? Why were they even created? Well, there's two reasons. One, and I highlighted them right up through here, maximum employment. So their job, one of their jobs is to keep the economy at full employment, whatever that number is. And the next thing is price stability, which is AKA inflation. So they're working like heck on this, but they really didn't pay much attention to the jobs report. And then yesterday when the jobs numbers come out, I'm like, wait a second, this is going to increase the unemployment rate, but there's really nothing going on with rates today. I thought rates would just plummet yesterday and plummet again today. So there was a report out just this morning. It's right here, the unemployment insurance claims. It was just out just minutes ago and right through here. So instead of me explaining this to you, let's go over to CNBC. This gentleman right here, he's going to interview a new member of the Federal Reserve. I think he's the Kansas City Fed president. They're in Jackson Hole. Remember we talked about Jackson Hole yesterday? That's where all the big bankers go out and they talk about what's going to go on and so forth. So let's take his take on it. This is just one of the Federal Reserve presidents, and let's see what his take is on all these numbers. And then we're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive into these to see, you know, once the Fed reduces rates, what's going to happen to mortgage rates? So take it away, CNBC.
Today, I interviewed our new host now, Kansas City Fed President Jeff Schmidt, yesterday on the first anniversary of his taking the job. And I start off by asking him if he considers himself a hawk or a dove.
Okay, you guys should know what a hawk and a dove is. So what is it? Okay, so let me explain that piece of it. And I love these tutorial videos. Basically, a hawk is always thinking, well, we need to raise rates. They're always nervous about something. It's like, okay, the jobs number's coming in bad. Let's raise rates because we got to do something. The doves, on the other hand, they're like, well, you know, things are starting to cool down. Let's go ahead and cut. So let's find out what exactly he is. Interesting.
I'd actually like to be an eagle. I don't know if I can.
What's an eagle then in monetary policy terms?
You know, flies high and soars over, looks at macro, and then makes really good decisions on its, you know, way to its home.
We've had some interesting data just this morning when it comes to the jobs market. They have downgraded.
Just an FYI, this is an interview from yesterday. So when he starts talking about, we just got some numbers in. This is yesterday when that 816,000 jobs were vanished. And here's the thing. Everybody's kind of playing this down like, no big deal. Well, if every employment number came in and it was 50 or 100,000 less, I think the Federal Reserve would have already acted, because that is, like we said right over here, one of their dual mandates. So sorry about that, but let's get to the interview.
The payrolls through the year ending in March 2024 by 818 some odd thousand. How does that affect your view of the job market?
You look at the 800,000, it breaks down about average 60 so thousand a month. I think for me, it doesn't change a lot of how I think about the labor market, but I think generally speaking, it helps us hold kind of where we thought things would be in July and then look to September.
Had you known back then that the average job growth was 68,000 less than it was at the time, which is 242,000 versus 174,000,
yeah,
Would that have changed your view of monetary policy at the time?
I don't think so. I think we've seen some cooling.
I call BS. Just saying.
Cooling in the labor market, but I think it's generally pretty strong. I mean, I spend a whole lot of time in the district, seven states in the heartland, we have states that are still in that 2.5, 3.5 unemployment number, and so and they feel pretty good about being able to hire people, and that the last probably 6 to 12 months has helped their cause to form a better workforce, a more skilled workforce.
When it comes to the concern about, how much concern do you have right now about the softening of the labor market?
So here again, we get back to this dual mandate, right? And it's to me, as a fairly new, a real new central banker, I've learned that there's a perfection of how the labor market works relative to the inflation numbers, and there's a healthy friction in the two, and I still believe quite strongly that we really need to trend this inflation number towards 2. It has to be sustainable, and I think having the labor market cool some is helping that, but I think there's still work to do.
When you say still work to do, does that make you reluctant to think about rate cuts at the next meeting?
Here again, we've got some data sets to come in before September. I want to be thoughtful about it. I really do believe that you've got to start looking at it a little bit harder relative to where the 3.5% number was and where it is today in the low fours. So it bears looking harder at it. There's a dynamic in the labor force, in my opinion, that kind of has come out of the pandemic. And I'm really interested, you know, the demographics of labor, the skilled force, the immigration issue. It all kind of gets cooked into this stew. And so I will say I'm taking harder look at it. And I'm going to kind of let the data show where we lead.
How much confidence do you have at this point that inflation is heading back towards 2%?
Well, the last two or three prints, I think, look pretty positive to that trend. It's nice to see it in the mid-high twos, depending on how you want to measure it. It's a mandated thing. So I would agree with several of my colleagues that, you know, you probably want to act maybe before it gets to 2, but that sustainability to 2, I think, is really important.
How restrictive do you see the Federal Reserve right now?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I think, where from my standpoint, I think rates are restrictive, but they're not overly restrictive. I think there is some room to consider where we go from here, but I frankly think we've got time, and it's not an over restrictiveness to the economy, in my opinion, at this stage.
So.
All right, guys, my takeaway, Schmidt would cut rates if the data clearly supported, but doesn't mind running rates somewhat higher over time. And you'll hear more about that when we're back at 8:30 with part two. We're going to hear more of Schmidt's views on possible rate cuts, the balance sheet, and how much concern we should have for small and medium-sized banks. I don't know, Joe, if you could actually concentrate on anything he was saying with that beautiful shot we have in the background there.
So that's the report. So then they had another report. They said they're going to continue to reduce their balance sheets. But this is, it's kind of a conundrum. It's like, you know, we have a jobs report that comes in weaker than expected, and the markets just implode. And then we come with a revision of almost a million people added to that unemployment rate, and the things aren't really moving. And we're seeing the bond market right through here upticking. So that means rates are going to go up. And they might go up about 0.05, which doesn't seem like much, but the data is kind of just contradicting of itself. Okay, so the next thing is we have another Fed president, Fed Collins, will soon be appropriated to cut interest rates. So that's what she's saying. So basically, they're all telling us that the rates are going to be cut. CME Fed Watch tool continues to do that as well. So there's over a 70% chance that the Federal Reserve is going to cut rates by 0.25%. Okay, so that's what we see here. Here's one thing I want you guys to notice. When you're watching things or reading things, check out a lot of the, I guess I'll say, uncertainties, okay, when people are starting to tell you, you know, their professional opinions, because you have to be reluctant on that, because truly nobody knows what's going to happen, okay? We don't even know if we're going to wake up tomorrow. We don't know what the weather's going to be like on Sunday or whatever. So if you start looking through these, look at just this. This was a report out today that I pulled up. It says, you know, if the Federal Reserve reduces rates, how low can we expect rates to go on mortgages? And then here's where it says, here's where mortgage rates could end up, okay, the uncertainty there. Some experts think, okay, the primary factor influencing mortgage rates for the rest of the year, August 30th, the PCE report's coming out, and then the jobs report in September. So this is all data that's going to add, you know, to the decision-making of the Federal Reserve. And then you go down through here into will likely, if inflation continues. That's why I want you guys to understand, nobody knows. Nobody knows. We just try to give you our most informative, basically, I'll say, guess of what's going to happen. If anybody tells you they know what's going to happen, you know, just turn the channel, please. The next thing is, the last thing here I want to show you guys is right through here. What should happen? What should happen if the Federal Reserve cuts the rates? And I put, I don't even know if I put in here by 0.25%, but just cuts rates. So it goes through all this data, and basically it just breaks it down. Direct relationship with the federal funds rate that the Federal Reserve controls, market expectations, inflation consideration, lending policies, all these play a role in mortgage rates on how much they're going to be affected when the Federal Reserve cuts. There's no things to say, well, the Federal Reserve cuts 25 basis points, so mortgage rates are going to drop 25 basis points. Doesn't work that way. In summary, if the Federal Reserve cuts the federal funds rate in September of 2024, mortgage rates will most likely decrease, but the extent of the movement depends on the broader economic conditions. So we don't know how much it's going to correct, and that's why I encourage you guys to watch every day, 5 or 6 minutes, and you'll get your whole indigestion of real estate information in one small swoop. So let's get back to the bond market right now. We see the MBSs. If you're new to my channel, what we follow here is this right here. It's a mortgage bond that trades on Wall Street. Let's get to the one-day analysis. It's all over the map today. So what we're looking at right through here, this is a mortgage bond, and what you're seeing at the top right through here is the price of the bond. Here's what I need you to understand. How does this reflect into what the rate's going to be? Well, as this price, as the price goes down in a bond, what happens with this bond and any bond, the rate or the yield goes up. Okay, so if the price goes down, the rates go up. We love when the price goes up. Let's see if we can get some momentum here. Let's see through here. Yes, look, we had rates from here go all the way up to here. All during that time, rates came down. If you go to a one-year chart, let's go back to last October. Here's where we were in last October, November. Look, that's when rates hit 8%. You can see way down here. Okay, it says October on the screen. And then we came all the way up. That's where rates were 8%. And now they're about 6.5% right now. So that's how all this works in relationship to that. So that's what you're going to see right now. So mortgage rates, you're probably going to see about 6.5% today unless something else happens. But I will be back at the closing bell to let you guys know, was there any other data that came in today that should be affecting mortgage rates? And that will be affecting housing affordability. So my name is Dan Frio. I do this report on a daily basis. What do I do? Who am I? I'm a mortgage loan officer. Okay, that's it. I'm just a loan officer out here trying to educate you guys on how this all works. So if you're out there trying to buy your first house, you know, I suggest you go to our website, which is therateupdate.com. We have a grant finder up there. Fantastic tool. Up there, you can find national grants, as well as if you live in the Chicagoland area. We have $1 million from the Federal Home Loan Bank of Chicago to use to help people out there in the Chicagoland area use that for down payment assistance. It's $10,000 grants, so check out the grant finder in that place. But if you're looking to put in your application, you can do it two ways. One, you can click the Apply Now button. You're on your way. Most of the time, we're going to set up a consultation with you so you can answer, you know, you can ask us questions, and we can answer those questions right on the fly. But if you'd rather just call in, you can do that, or you can even email me. Scroll down to the bottom of our website, and there it is. You can see our 800 number, which is 844-775-5626, or you can reach me at dan@therateupdate.com. So thanks so much for watching, guys. God bless. Have a fantastic afternoon, and I'll see you here at the closing bell. Take care.